When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to The Ruck. I'm Owen Slot. I am here with Steve Jones. Jonesy, how are you?
Very good, Slotty. We're in the deep south of New Zealand now, in Dunedin. Glorious day. We had a fantastic walk on the beach this morning where we saw a basking seal snoozing on the beach. We thought it was dead, but it came back to life. Very happy to say. We had a lovely walk and we're in St. Clair, which is right on the beachfront. So be jealous, everybody at home.
Well, I'm glad you're having a nice time, Jonesy. How long have we been here?
We've been away from home 13 nights.
And how many different beds have you slept in?
Including the airline bed, which was meant to be flat bed, was about as flat as a inverted pancake. It was hopeless. We've been away 13 nights and we've been in 7 separate beds.
And is that because you are one of New Zealand's most famous Lotharios, or is that just the travel schedule?
No, I've got to keep my head down. I don't like to sleep in the same bed more than 2 nights running because they might catch up with me. No, it's been whistle stop. I think we've had 6 hotels here already in less than 2 weeks, and one on the airline. So we're bed hopping at the moment and it's quite tiring.
But a great display of stamina shown by the media pack, setting the agenda for the players themselves. The tour, though, Jonesy, is we're feeling bright and sparky, aren't we? What happened in Christchurch on Saturday night has transformed the tour. It feels like it is a turning point at the moment. Obviously, we need to go on. The Lions need to go on further and do better. But that is the general feeling at the moment. Upbeat, yes.
Well, it is, because you know you are governed in a way by the morale of the team that you're following. Otherwise, you wouldn't be following them if no one was interested. So much more upbeat feeling. Woke up in Christchurch feeling good on Sunday morning. Gregory McPollock in the New Zealand Herald wasn't as happy and blamed the referee. And as I said on Sunday, there's only two results you can possibly get in New Zealand. A, New Zealand win the match, or B, the referee robbed them. So that's what happened clearly in Christchurch on Saturday. But no, it's upbeat. The team looked upbeat. They're clearly together. This thing about all 41 of us together, sometimes you know they aren't. This time you do really believe that they are united, and got a huge game against the Highlanders in the Packamack Stadium on tomorrow night. But you know, it's been good, and the tour's on the road.
So, Dunedin, is it the southernmost rugby test venue in the world? I think so.
I've seen test matches south of this because I've seen test matches in the Cargill in the World Cup in about 1823. I saw Wales play Canada down there. But it's odd because even Dunedin now is being squeezed out of the test matches. You know, there's not one here this time, which is a shame. And Dunedin is a funny old place because, you know, when you think, oh, we're going down to Dunedin, you think, oh, my God, you know, South Pole, etc. Well, we're sitting here in shirt sleeves in our Dunedin studios. We've hardly worn our fleeces, and it's been a gorgeous day. And when the town's like this, it really is friendly. Reminds you of Edinburgh a lot, except that it's friendly. And it's a great place, and really looking forward to the game and then the tour's alive.
And it also has a famous street, Baldwin Street, which has got many a rubbish writer out of a hole in the past. But Baldwin Street is in the Guinness Book of Records for the steepest residential street in the world. And at some point in the next couple of days, someone will trot out an intro saying there is an uphill task ahead of them here.
That's a great line. We keep that to ourselves, so we can have that in Times and Sunday Times only. But I didn't know about that. Every street here is called Murrayfield Street, Murray Street. It's all named after Scotsmen. So you do feel, if you're a Scotsman, you feel at home.
I agree. This is Scotland on sea. Nevertheless, they will be doing a haka.
Yeah, well, we're not short hackers. I haven't seen one for 10 minutes on the trip, but are the Highlanders going to do a hacker as well?
I think they are. I'm pretty sure they are. But in all seriousness, it does slightly sort of raise questions about the roots of the place and the culture of the place, because it is far more Scottish than it is Maori. It's more about Scotland. That's where the Scottish settlers came here. It's more about Scottish people than Maori people. There should be a bagpipe reception. Seriously, there should be a bagpipe reception, not a haka, I think.
I think all the gay Gordons, maybe. I think if they did that, it would be more appropriate. But actually, sometimes the haka just doesn't seem appropriate to anybody. I mean, it's massively appropriate to Maoris, but we've seen enough of them. They've ceased to amaze or frighten anyone. But what consenting adults do in their spare time is up to them, really.
So we're here in Dunedin. Lions played here on the last tour, Clive Woodward's tour, 12 years ago. They won 30-19. This was their last game before going on to the most disastrous of Test series. Possibly more famous was the game in 93, which you came to, didn't you? Josh Cronfeld's emergence and a big statement about the rugby here.
Yeah, it was. I mean, first of all, the Lions were going like a bomb in 93. Stuart Barnes, my colleague, was at fly half, then with black hair and no wig. But he, Josh Cronfeld was unknown then. I always remember him harrying Barnsley. Barnsley kept on trying to clear his lines from his own den ball line and didn't really work. I think Josh put him under pressure. So Barnsley sort of cut down on the training and upped his work in other areas on that tour. But also, you've got to remember, this is rather nostalgically, Otago is the home of rucking. A guy called Victor Kavanagh, decades ago, really developed this idea at the breakdown. Eight forwards would sweep over the ball. Peter Fitzsimons, the Aussie lock, described it as a multi-Adidas centipede, this ruck. And you get these 16 flashes of aluminium boots for anyone who was lying on the ground. And they'd often be caught on the ground. And, you didn't hang around. Now, at the moment, in the prissy era where of health and safety, etc., they don't want the ruck in rugby because they think it's dangerous. They think people will be kicked, which actually they may well do. But instead of that, you got this awful droning pick and drive round the corner, round the corner, round the corner. Well, that didn't happen in the old Otago days, because at the tackle, eight people sprinted over the ball, and if you tended not to hang around there. The other thing was that concentrated the forwards into a tiny space on the field, all 16 of them, because the other lot were trying to push back. So it was seven backs against seven backs in ages of space. Arguably, that was a much better game then in the when the era when ruck was king.
But as you say, we ain't going to see nothing like that tomorrow night, are we?
No, we're not. I think it'll be more of a Super 12 sort of game than a real rugby game like we saw on Saturday and the game that the Lions forced the Crusaders to play. I think it'll be a bit airy-fairy, but very, very important for both sides. Lions absolutely must keep the momentum up. The 23 in the squad for the Highlanders game are under the same pressure as the guys that the main guys were against the Crusaders. Huge.
That's something that you definitely get a feeling of around the squad at the moment. The idea that, as you say, we are all one. Alan Wynne-Jones said to the team after the Crusaders game, he said, this wasn't a win by 23, it was a win by 41. We've got to stay that way. And as you say, that there is this momentum thing now, which they genuinely believe in. And if they go up against a wall and fail to hurdle it again tomorrow, then it will be a serious step backwards, won't it?
No question at all, Owen. And I'd like to think that the players are just slightly falling behind. I mean, it's so easy to fall behind on this tour. All you've got to do is not feel very well and have one poor game, and suddenly you're off the peloton sort of thing. So the likes of Joe Marler, best up front, Ian Henderson, the guys who didn't make Jonathan Joseph, surely, the guys who didn't make that a massive impression in their first outings, they've really got to catch up, and their energy has got to give the whole party energy.
I put James Haskell in that group as well, actually. And it's interesting, he played for the Highlands for a year in 2012. And he's very popular around here and talked about what a great sort of place it is to come back to play in. I think he's got a bit to go. Players have gone backwards on this tour. I would put Liam Williams quite high up on that list. I still think he's a contender for the Test team, but he hasn't done anything to show that he should be.
No, he hasn't. And against the Crusaders, he looked like a guy who was absolutely desperate to, or indeed too desperate to play well. I thought he was sort of flighty and lost a little bit of footballing composure. And between him and Anthony Watson, I think they actually did show some nice things, especially Watson. I think they probably checked away a couple of tries between them. But Liam Williams is a guy who's got to really steady himself and show what he can do. Let's be fair, when Wales came down here last year, apparently he was seen by Kiwis as the danger man. And would be the danger man with the Lions. So we'll see. But it is a brutal thing, Owen, because, you know, one bad game, you suddenly almost are seen as a bad player. That's the brutality of the timetable.
I actually think that the whole picture of the back three is really been complicated or blurred by what we've seen so far, because so few players have actually put their hands up and claimed it. I mean, in a minute, we will go through from 15 to 8 all the way through the team to who we think is likely to be in the Test team. But let's just talk a bit more about the Highlanders game tomorrow night, Steve. I'll just run through the team. Jarrod Payne at fullback, which is interesting. I think really interesting. That could be a nod to a possible Test place. Jaron Nowell, Jonathan Joseph, Robbie Henshaw, Tommy Seymour, then Dan Bigger and Reece Webb at halfback. Then what looks most like the third choice front row of Joe Marler, Rory Best and Carl Sinclair. Behind them, Ian Henderson and Courtney Laws. I say Courtney Laws is possibly the most unlucky man at the moment to be playing midweek. And the back row is James Haskell, Sam Warburton, Fitzgerald and CJ Stander. The Highlanders, as you say, that they're sort of super rugby plus, aren't they? I mean, if you wanted to pick out a team that plays fast, plays loose, plays they think is very exciting, then it would be them. Which in part because of their stadium, isn't it? The indoor stadium. They don't play at the famous House of Pain anymore, where all previous Lions have been. They have this new stadium that was built for the World Cup in 2011, indoors. It's got a glass roof. Apparently it's strong enough for you to put a car on there.
I couldn't get my car up there, so I couldn't test it. I was halfway up. I had to come back.
Shall we talk about the team itself, what we think is the Test team?
Not been out here long, and you do feel so sorry for the players. I can't get it out of my head that the team is bound to be underprepared, no question. You look at Anthony Watson. Now, Anthony Watson on Saturday, running from the back, made some absolutely brilliant dents against the Crusaders. When he got nearer the line, he became more and more panicky. Instead of backing himself, he's got joyous gifts. If they had a couple more games out here to try him out, he could well come through and be the Test fullback. At the moment, they just don't know, and it's too much of a risk. Now, that's just one example. But fullback, you know, Test team, fullback, immediately you run straight into doubt, straight into problems. What do you think?
Well, I agree with you on Anthony Watson. I think wonderful performance, but he just didn't have the confidence to back himself, and that's not the right player to put in for the first Test. Stuart Hogg is pretty much certainly out of the game. We'll hear about that later today. So you're sort of running out of strong candidates. I would have put Liam Williams there as well, but as just mentioned, he hasn't had a good tour. He had those gave away those two penalties against the Blues last Wednesday. Got yellow carded, and I think that's one reason why he was tentative on the Saturday, because slightly unsure of himself. So where does that leave you? I actually don't know who he'll play at 15. There's also the Jarrod Payne option, which we'll see tonight. There's also the Elliot Daly option, which I didn't think I'd ever be saying, but Elliot Daly's on the bench tonight, which suggests that Warren's got a bigger role for him in mind on Saturday. So maybe with him. I mean, of all the places in this team that I wouldn't say with any certainty who's gonna play there, 15 is the biggest doubt for me. 13 remains a question, but that's more to do with the tactical makeup of the midfield. 15, if I had to write if I'd write a name down, I'd put Anthony Watson, but with no certainty at all.
That's right. So would I. And if Anthony Watson had three more games for the Test match, he'd almost be certain. You not even mentioned Lee Halfpenny there, who is a very, very successful 15 in the last tournament. But we just don't know, and they just don't have time. And I have to say, I really back this coaching squad to get it, I back their wisdom, but it would be a guess whoever they pick. Now, you take wing as well, Owen, because George North, everybody writes him down. Well, actually, George was tentative against the Crusaders. Now, Jack Nowell, for instance, was anything but tentative in the game before. Does that mean that Jack Nowell is a better player than George North? I just don't know. But I tell you what, if you combine the two, you'd have the best winger in the world. But George, on occasion, still looks tentative.
George, I think, above everyone else, is still running on reputation rather than form. He still has to show stuff. He's not very good under the high ball. So the Lions, as I think we conclude, there'll be a lot of clever, smart kicking from Conor Murray, which requires your wingers to chase. So George chases very avidly, but he never catches it. He's quite good at catching the opposition if he needs to tackle the opposition winger. But actually, in terms of reclaiming and recycling himself, he was poor, extremely poor. But I concede anyway. He's probably going to be one wing. So at the moment, I'd have him on one wing and I'd have Liam Williams on the other, and neither of them have deserved it yet.
No, they haven't. But I tell you what, when in doubt in a game like this, I think you pick the footballer. And Liam Williams is a footballer. And it's not so much a confidence thing, because I think he realises, unlike Anthony Watson, how good he is. So I think one of the positions will be Liam Williams, whether that's 15 or wing, I don't know. But again, Jack Nowell, what has he done wrong? He's effervescent. He's great for morale. And so again, big question marks. Probably agree with you that Liam Williams will be the left wing.
Okay, so to go through the rest of the backs, we really should start at nine and go through. So Conor Murray will play nine for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a few options there. Conor Murray will definitely play nine. Graham Henry the other day was quoted as saying he's the best nine in the world. Well, you often get a little bit suspicious of when the Greeks come. The Romans come bearing gifts. Is it the Greeks who bear gifts or the Romans?
I think it's the Maori.
No. In the okay, well, the Maoris, Greeks or Romans bearing gifts, you're always worried about them. But I think Graham meant that. Conor Murray had a great game on Saturday. Box kicking excellent. Must be the starter, I would think.
And then you get to the question of what he does or how he plays it. So coming here, we seem convinced that he was not going to play a 10-12 of Farrell and Sexton. He's given no indication that he would do that. And then on Saturday in Christchurch, because there were two injuries, he was suddenly forced. His hand was forced. And you saw Farrell and Sexton and Farrell playing together. And they looked pretty juicy, didn't they?
No, I didn't think so. I wouldn't. I think they both stood up to be counted. I keep Farrell at 10, no question whatsoever. I wouldn't go back to that 10-12 thing. I wouldn't play one fly half in the centre, because you feel guilty he's not in at 10. And the only question for me is whether Teo or Henshaw plays at 12 outside Owen Farrell.
So you weren't impressed by any of their work together, the way they the line breaks they created, the way they put people through holes? I mean, I don't think he'll play it, but I think that the argument was put forward and it was quite a strong one.
No, I wasn't impressed, no.
Okay, right.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
At 12, Ben Teo's definitely made a statement. Robbie Henshaw has a chance tonight. At the moment, Teo's got it, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, again, you would just love it if there were three more games. But he's got something about him. He's got composure. Let's hope he's not, you know, let's hope he's learning rapidly. Love to see him have one more great game at 12. And the only drawback, Owen, with your 10-12 combination, as it turned out, due to injury, was that it forced Teo to go to 13, and I'm sure that Warren in a way hated that because he wanted Teo to have the whole game at 12 just to see.
Yeah, 13 also is a harder position defensively, and I'm not sure that Teo is quite used to that. The idea that you can just shove him out a little bit further is somewhat too simple. So, at 13, sort of after the fullback position is the hardest one to wink in, because anyone who's played 13 has either done a poor job or has got injured. So Jonathan Davis went off with HIA. Jared Payne didn't last the whole game that he played in. So all of a sudden, Jonathan Joseph has a chance here. Personally, I think Jonathan Davis will be back on Saturday, and Warren Gatlin will be absolutely hoping that he puts in a performance to justify his selection there. I'm sure that Gatlin wants him in the 13 shirt.
I totally agree. I think that Jonathan Davis just has to give one classic Jonathan Davis performance on Saturday. Not a half-paced one. It has to be himself. But if he's not himself, he's back in the melting pot. But at least there's some clarification there. Payne, it was a shame he couldn't complete the job at the outside centre. Jonathan Joseph would have to play completely out of his skin against the Highlanders because Jonathan Davis is the class act.
Were you worried? So for the 25-odd minutes that Jonathan Davis was on the pitch, he was against the Crusaders, he was handed two peaches of a pass from Farrell, which put him through holes, and he dropped one of them and then fluffed the scoring pass for the next one. Did that bother you, or do we put that in the bracket of it's their first game together, this is what you expect?
Of course, it would bother you if you're a Lions fan, because, I mean, to score within 60 seconds of the start when George North was outside him and Jonathan gave a really poor pass, it was terrible. Passing to his right, maybe a little bit more difficult, but no, that would worry you. But it's like, you know, someone like Tiger Woods at his pomp, if he misses the green 19 times out of 20, doesn't mean he's a terrible golfer. So I think Jonathan Davis still got it all to do, but he is the favourite because he's class at 13.
Okay, right, we'll move on to the scrum now. Jonesy, I haven't got it straight in my head what Warren wants from his front row. I think Ty Furlong is guaranteed to start as the tight head, but he's got two different front rows, isn't he? One is the one with Mako and Jamie George in, which sort of makes sense for Jamie George because there's going to be a Saracen in the line outs for sure. But that's your more ball carrying front rowers and less your scrummagers, and I'm slightly worried about Mako's scrummaging still. So you got that versus the other test possible loose head is Jack McGrath with Ken Owens, the Welsh hooker, between him and Ty Furlong. What's your view on that one?
Difficult. It's much closer than we thought it would be. I think we're overdoing the doubts about Mako Vunipola scrummaging. I think we're overdoing them. There was one horrendous time where the Crusaders got under them at Canterbury. I'm not really worried. I don't think that Jack McGrath is as a better scrummager by such a margin as for the Lions to stop or to ignore Vunipola's amazing power and versatility and staying power in the loose. So it's Jack McGrath's a great player, so is Mako. I think they'll stay Mako, and I don't think Mako will be under any problems. I really don't.
And then if you play Mako, then you play Jamie George as well and go for your quicker, more versatile handling front row?
Ken Owens has really impressed me. I mean, I thought Ken was the third hooker coming out here. Really impressed me. Like his attitude, he's got this steeliness about him. Also, he likes camping apparently, which I think is a strong suit for a hooker. I think Ken Owens is right in there. I really do. I don't think they look upon it as a sort of Saracens partnership. I don't think that's the way it goes. But I don't think any of the hookers are absolutely, totally world-class. I think Ken Owens is really breathing down the neck of Jamie George now. And the tight head prop, Furlong, really impressed me. I just think he's a little bit heavy, but hopefully, you know, he does stay. Mako gave him a huge tribute on Saturday, saying he's immovable. So that's what we wanted, the immovable Irish tight head.
Behind him in the second row, it seems to me like there's two from three that they haven't quite worked out yet. Alan Wynne-Jones would appear to be Warren Gatland's preferred option. He was captain on Saturday. If Sam Warburton doesn't make it for the first test, which he said he might not do, then your most likely captain is Alan Wynne. So he gets a little bit of help from that versus George Crewe, whose line out work in particular was immaculate against the Crusaders. They did under the Crusaders line out particularly well. But then we have Maro Itoje coming on, who's spent a lot of time talking about Northern Irish politics with Ian Henderson, incidentally. Mm-hmm. But not during that game. Well, he had 15 minutes, and it was Maro's supercharged, wasn't it?
Oh, look, I mean, three great locks there, and that's a tough one. You know, it's easy to say, look, tell you what we'll do. We'll keep Maro off, and we'll put him on, Maro Itoje off. We put him on for the last 20. He'll come on, as he did against Crusaders, and storm round. I think New Zealanders are really impressed by him, and the reason why I think they are is that no one mentions him. They usually, if they're not impressed with him, they start getting stuck into him, but no one's got stuck into Maro. Alan Wynne-Jones and Crewe. I mean, Crewe, would you dare leave him out? He got a big decision in the line-out over Sam Whitelock and all his supporting cast. Mucked up six or seven the Crusaders' throws. I'm sorry, but Warren is dogmatically refusing to consider Itoje as a six, which is where I'd pick him. Then you can play all three. Get your three best players on the field. Maro at six. Sorry for all the other blindside flankers. That's how I would. It's not running away from the issue. That's how I would play them.
Jones, I would just so love to disagree with you there, but I would have Maro at six as well. I think if he comes on for 20 minutes and has a stormer, then the first thing you ask is, well, couldn't we have seen him for a bit longer?
Absolutely.
So I would like to see him from the start. But there's been no indication that he'll play six, none whatsoever. I think if we assume that Sam Warburton's unlikely to make it, but that's a big guess because we'll have to see how he plays tomorrow night. But he probably won't make it. So I think the back row is straightforward: two Irish flankers, Amani and O'Brien, and then Faletau at number eight.
In the Test match?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have either of your Irish flankers, even though they played really well last week. I think O'Brien played well, but not brilliantly. I don't think he slowed down enough ball as a seven. And with Sam Warburton, you know, I think with Sam, he's a lovely fellow, a great captain, etc. I think Sam has to feel in his head that he is 157% right. He frets. He sits there in press conferences, very open, frets about the machine he's got on his leg and he's 2% short, this, that and the other. I think really, Warren says, Sam, you're playing in the team, get out there and lead the Lions.
You think he should be told to do that rather than convince himself? Because as you say, he said yesterday, he said, I need two games to feel good and then the third game I can play well. And if that's stuck in your head, then it's hard to shift, isn't it?
It is hard to shift, but I mean, look, he's a great fellow and he's not pompous in any way. I think, you know, these days, a lot of players will tell you, you say, are you fit? Are you fit again? They say, well, look, you're never really fit. You've always got something.
Jonesy, when you're on tour, how long does it take you to start really performing?
Really performing? Oh, blimey. When I'm going through the arrivals lounge, I'm straight into it. And honestly, I don't need to feel great. In fact, I rarely feel great. I'm always on form. No, look, I'm not getting at Sam. I'm not saying he's putting anything on, but come on, he's the captain. 98% Sam, that'll do us because you're a really good player. And my blind side, if it's not Maro Itoje, would be Haskell because he's bigger, more brutal, harder, and then you can always put on O'Mahony for the last 20.
And hasn't played anything like to form for 11 months.
Well, I think he's. You know, he admits that the toe hurt him longer than we thought. But I think he, in his performance the other day, I thought he was really good, and I think he's ready. Okay, I mean, if you don't think he's playing that well, fine. But we'll have to disagree on that.
Okay, I'm sorry, listeners, we're disagreeing on that. Haskell got a big game tonight, and we shall see. Okay, moving on. It's not just the Lions out here in New Zealand at the moment, though. England women are on tour here. They are in Rotorua on Saturday. The Lions play the Maori in Rotorua on Saturday, but England women are playing the New Zealand women, the Silver Ferns. Jonesy, the England women are going well, aren't they?
They are going well. I've got a few anxieties. I mean, they hammered Australia in their first game. Only been here a few days, but they really hammered Australia. We won't know the result when this podcast comes out of the England-Canada game, which takes place tomorrow. But then, as you say, they got the Silver Ferns, the Black Ferns on Saturday in Rotorua. Now, two things worry me. First of all, Australia should be so much better than they are, but they have devoted themselves to sevens. That is ruinous, and that is when the rise of sevens becomes a bad thing for the 15s. The Canadian team out here, who play in England and have already played well against New Zealand but lost, they've left their sevens team at home. Now, that is preposterous. Sevens is not the main event, however gaudy it is, however much you love it. So that has devalued this four-team tournament. I think the two best teams are England and South Africa. England and New Zealand, and I think it'd be a great game. It'd be a major rehearsal for what is likely to be the World Cup final. Not definite, but likely. I think that England forwards, Tamara Taylor, Harriet Miller-Mills, Abby Scott is now fit again. They got some tremendous forwards, experience up front. They've got Emily Scarrett in the centre. It's about time she really, you know, threw herself into it. A bit like Anthony Watson. Remember how good you are, Emily, and really go for it. Danielle Waterman is back at fullback for the Canada game. I think we'll play against the All Blacks. Really massive game, massive for momentum. And should they win that, it'll really send the girls into their pre-World Cup stage in fantastic fettle. Great game, really looking forward to it.
Good. Also, just on non-Lions subject, did you see the England game, England-Argentina? It was a fantastic contest. George Ford played like he did in 2014. He was electric and confident and kicked brilliantly. Amazing performances across the pitch from players who hadn't been in an England shirt before. Denis Solomona, we're going to hear and see a lot more of him, I think. He missed two tackles, conceded two tries, and then scored the winning try out of nothing.
Yeah, I did. I saw glimpses of it, and I take your word for it. And Solomona, you know, he's obviously going to have to. I think if you give away two tries and score one, you're never going to get anywhere, however brilliant the try was. And that might be a bit cynical, but what again worries me massively was Argentina. All the clips I've seen, it looked like super rugby froth. Argentina are not a team to bung the ball all over the field and take on teams at that team's game. What has happened to their fantastic forward base, their power, their passion, and their energy? The Pumas should have put away England by 30 points, and they failed. And I thought their attitude and their tactics were pitiful.
How was it? That was the Argentina that played in exactly that way in the World Cup and came within a whisker of beating Australia and making a World Cup final?
No, absolutely not. The Argentina team, for instance, played against Ireland, subdued Ireland up front, and they only ran the ball wide when it was on, and very wide, and their backs were superb. But this lot were just... they never earned the right to go wide, which they haven't, and they've not played anything like as well since that game. They went back to Super Rugby style in the semi-final against Australia and were out of it before they even started. Tactics absolutely disgraceful.
Okay, we're going to finish on a new feature on the Ruck, which we've put our heads together and come up with something really clever.
We've been rehearsing this. We've been rehearsing it. Yeah. Go on.
It should have a jingle, but it doesn't. And maybe we should have a prize as well. So we're going to nominate a Lion of the Week. a line that has particularly impressed us. Steve, do you want to go first with your nomination for Lion of the Week?
Do you mean Lion or Lion?
Lion, as in...
Lion of the Week.
Okay. Yeah, I told you that we worked on this quite hard.
Yeah, it's Lion of the Week. It's a player. Okay, my Lion of the Week probably was Owen Farrell, because I know we always have him as Lion of the Week, but there's something about that bloke that's unshakable. He's like steel personified. So my Lion of the Week is Owen Farrell.
Okay. My Lion of the Week is a player who we won't see in the Test squad, but has been a very welcome member for a number of reasons. He leads the England singing of Jerusalem, which you wouldn't have thought would be Kyle Sinclair, but it is. He has come over so well as a personality on this tour. Jones, you've sat through a million and one of the most boring press conferences in the world, and we've had a fair few of them here. Kyle Sinclair comes through, and he refuses to toe party line or to have his personality tamed by the requirements of talking to the media, and he comes and he tells a story of his life, and it's absolutely wonderful. So today he told us about his upbringing as a centre and a fly half, and his disappointment when someone pulled him by the collar and said, no, you're going to be a tight head from now on. He is absolutely in awe of this whole Lions thing. He's like a pupil who's on a learning experience. He said today, he was asked if he was disappointed that he wasn't going to be, that he was unlikely to be in the Test team, or if he wasn't in the Test team, how would he feel? And he said, this jersey is so much bigger than Kyle Sinclair. At the moment, that is my quote of the tour. He's a wonderful man, and he should be encouraged to talk and to share his personality with the rugby world.
Do you know what? There's a big lesson there. I know you're not tongue-in-cheek, you meant it, but I think that there's a lesson there for all the media managers who are erasing away all the personalities of all the players in all the sports. And can I just give you my Line of the Week? Not Line, Line of the Week. I drove down all the way from Christchurch to Dunedin, down the imaginatively named Highway 1. It's a long old drive, but Nick Kane, the Moose, was driving. He was he's a failed Formula One driver. But at one stage, we were going very, very slow in the slow lane. So I said, Moose, why are we in the slow lane? And the Moose thought for a minute. He said, because we're going effing slow. Thank you, Fangio.
On that note, we wrap it up for now. Jonesy, thank you very much. Good luck with whatever bed you're sleeping in tonight. And we will be back with the Ruck episode number 1,000,002 on Thursday after the team for the Maori game has been announced. Stay with us. Hope you're enjoying it. And we'll be back soon.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.